Like a lot of other folks during COVID, I started ordering DoorDash more and more often. I was lucky enough to work from home, and as the world locked down, I became even less social than my baseline, which was pretty close to hermit already. That's where Cindy came in. Bubbly, middle-aged, and always smiling, Cindy became my regular Dasher. I always figured that delivery drivers were assigned randomly, but somehow, every time I placed an order, it always seemed to be Cindy ringing my doorbell. She'd grin a little wider when she handed me the bag. "Here's your order, darling," Cindy would say. Then she'd wink, get into her purple PT Cruiser, and wave as she left. At first, I was ordering once or twice a week, but I hit a rough spot where my job and my personal life both felt as if they were draining away like a sunset into the dirt. Then I started seeing Cindy 2, 3, even 4 times a week. I'm not sure when, but eventually, she'd take a break from her deliveries so we could chat on my porch, usually with a beer or two. "Only one more," Cindy would say. "Can't have too many or you'll have to take my keys." She was friendly, if a little intense. Her blonde hair had some silver in it, just like mine. If she came by at night, we'd sit there and drink and point out constellations to each other. Cindy never really talked about her life outside her job. I didn't either. It was a fine thing, just to sit. Then I met Morgan. We bumped into each other on one of my rare walks around the neighborhood. She'd just moved in a few houses down. Her dog got off the leash and I helped her track him down. The connection was immediate. For the first time in months, maybe years, I started waking up smiling. I started taking better care of myself, exercising, trying to get out of the house, shopping, cooking. Instead of ordering out 4 or more times a week, I cut it down to 2, then 1. Then I skipped an entire week without DoorDash. Both my wallet and my waistline were feeling good. I was just stepping outside for a late night walk when I noticed a familiar purple PT Cruiser parked in the row opposite my townhouse. Cindy was sitting on the hood, reading a book. "Hiya, Dave," Cindy said, waving when she spotted me. She waved, I waved back, and walked over. "Hey, Cindy." "Long time no see, stranger." I felt almost guilty for some reason. "What brings you around?" "Just in the neighborhood making another delivery," she said. "I wanted to pop in, make sure you're all right." "Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm good. Just cutting back on takeout, you know." Cindy kept smiling, but I thought I noticed her lips drop a degree or two. "Everything all right?" "Yeah, just trying to save a few bucks, you know." "Oh, sure. I get that. Tell you what, next time you order, I'll see if I can get you a little extra. I know most of the restaurant folks around here well. More bang for your buck."
You don't have to do that. I appreciate the gesture, but..." Cindy was already climbing back into her car.
"Don't think nothing of it, darling. I understand. You had me worried for a bit there, but I get it. Old Cindy will take care of you. I'll keep an eye out for your next order."
I gave a little half wave as she pulled out of the parking lot, then went back inside and canceled my premium DoorDash membership. It seemed like a good time to let it expire. A few nights later, Morgan was over. We were watching a horror movie with the lights out, sharing a big bowl of popcorn between us on the couch. I was trying to devour the popcorn as quickly as possible, since maybe we'd move a little closer when the bowl was gone. Just as the monster was about to crawl down the attic stairs on screen, my living room was smothered in white light.
"What the heck?" Morgan asked. "I think someone has their brights on in the parking lot."
"Pointed right at the damn window, too," I muttered, getting up from the couch. "I'm going to go yell at them. Let me know what happens with the movie when I get back."
I stepped outside into blinding light.
"Hey, asshole," I shouted. "Your brights are on." I waited for a moment just to show I meant business. Then I walked back inside. Before I made it back to the couch, there was a loud honk from outside. The bastard was laying on their horn. I hurried back outside, but only saw fading taillights leaving the parking lot. I was still a little night blind from the brightness, yet the shadow of the departing car looked familiar. Cindy knocked on my door the next morning, holding a pizza.
"Hey, stranger," she said, beaming. "Pepperoni and olives, breakfast of champions."
I blinked sleep from my eyes.
I didn't order anything.
On the house.
Cindy's smile stretched so far I was worried it would snap like a stressed bungee cord.
No thanks, I insist.
She thrust the box forward. I took it. Thank you. We stood there in silence for a few moments, Cindy grinning, me trying to force my half-asleep mind to come up with an exit strategy for the conversation.
Who's your friend? Cindy asked.
What friend?
The brunette. The pretty one.
Oh, that's Morgan. Cindy's smile looked about ready to crack.
Pretty name.
How did you know?
Oh, here and there, Cindy said, walking back to her car. You enjoy the pizza, and I'm here if you ever need an ear.
After she drove away, I headed across the parking lot, still in my bathrobe, and tossed the box into the dumpster. The next week was weird. I kept catching glimpses of what looked like a purple PT Cruiser. It might be driving slowly down the street when I was out grocery shopping, or just turning the corner when I was on a jog. I chalked it up to paranoia and did my best not to worry about it. Things were going well with Morgan, my job was good again, my health improving, and all signs pointed to better days. And then, out of the blue, Morgan sent me a text telling me she was getting back together with her ex. She told me she'd rather not see me and wouldn't pick up when I called or answered her door when I knocked. It broke me more than I would have thought. The rejection sent me spiraling into bad habits, sleeping all day, eating junk, parking myself like a zombie in front of the computer. The only backslide I avoided was returning to ordering DoorDash, so it was a bit of a shock when Cindy came calling again a few days after Morgan dumped me. This time she was holding a bag full of Chinese takeout, my favorite comfort food.
Hey, stranger, Cindy said.
Hey. She lifted up the bag.
Now, I know you didn't order anything, but I had this hunch you might be in the need of a pick-me-up. Dumplings, General Tso's, egg rolls, tempura, udon, all the works.
I stood staring for a moment. It had been a crazy couple of weeks. Cindy still creeped me out, sure, but I thought of all those nights we sat on the porch, having a beer and counting stars. Some days, you just need a friend.
Would you like to come in? I asked Cindy. I think it's too much food for just me.
She smiled. We went inside. It was a hell of a spread. We didn't talk for a while. We just ate. It was probably the best Chinese I'd ever eaten. After polishing off the last of the gyoza, I sat back and took a breath.
Good?
Cindy asked, blue eyes alive under the kitchen lights. Amazing.
You know I'm always here if you need an ear, right?
Yeah, Cindy, I know. Thank you. She winked and popped the last bite of her egg roll into her mouth.
Have you been having a rough time? How's your little friend, the pretty one?
We're not really friends, I guess, anymore. And, yeah, it's been rough.
Cindy leaned forward. Yeah? You've had it hard, huh? Had your whole life upended? Your routine?
Yes?
You have no idea, Cindy hissed, smile still nailed to her face. We had a good thing, and you cut me out. For what? For the first pair of Bambi eyes that got batted your way. That Morgan was trouble. I did you a favor.
What the hell are you talking about, Cindy?
You stopped ordering. You stopped talking to me. You didn't really leave me any options. I had to stop her to help you.
I shook my head. I don't understand.
Cindy smiled wider, all teeth. Why don't you call your little friend? Call Morgan.
She's not...
Call her! I promise she'll answer this time.
Feeling caught in the pull of Cindy's intensity, I called Morgan. I heard a ringtone. Cindy reached into her pocket and pulled out Morgan's phone.
Hey, stranger.
I put the phone down. What did you do?
Did you enjoy the dumplings? How did you like your meal? How was the meat?
I looked down at my plate, at the pieces of what I thought was pork and beef. It was awfully red. Cindy began to giggle.
Everyone trusts DoorDash. They always open the door, even when they didn't place an order. You didn't tell me what you thought of the food. Morgan seemed a little stringy to me, but I used a lot of salt. I figure she tasted okay, maybe a little gamey. But what did you think?
Cindy laughed louder and louder, doubling over the table. I picked up an egg roll. There was a strand of black hair poking out of the wrapping. I took two steps from the table before I threw up. Cindy only cackled harder. She was still laughing when I ran outside, dialing 911.
Oh, come back, Dave, Cindy shouted after me. I'm always here if you need an ear, or a lung, or a tongue, or a heart.
It's not easy building a YouTube empire, and it's even harder keeping the audience once you have it. I put in a lot of effort earning my 20,000 subscribers, so when I noticed traffic start to drop off, I knew it was time to try something new, something a little wilder. My comment section kept asking for challenge videos, so I decided to really dive in. Okay, my little dirtbags, you leave me no choice but to risk my life to bring you the best content you will find online. Grinning wide for the webcam and watching the view count climb higher and higher. Starting tonight, I will be filming a 24-hour DoorDash challenge. I'll be going undercover as a Dasher, chronicling my experiences bringing food to all the freaks and fiends out there in our city. And here's the twist. I will take one souvenir from inside each house I visit. That's right, bitches. Your boy will be getting into the homes, either by charm or getting past the alarm, baby. Remember that content is king, and your boy has the crown. Johnny J out, motherfuckers. Happy dashing. I clicked off the webcam without even glancing at the chat. I knew they'd be going wild. This was going to be huge for the channel, maybe 50,000 subs by the end of the challenge. Signing up to deliver DoorDash was brain dead easy. I picked up my first order, fucking Subway, the heathens, around 10 p.m. Me pulling up in a fresh 2011 Ford Mustang, cherry red obviously, must have impressed the shit out of folks because it was hella simple to get invited into houses. Order number one was an elderly lady who tried to talk my ear off when I asked to use her restroom. I swiped an ashtray from her table. Old bird didn't need to be smoking anyway. Order number two, Taco Bell and Domino's, was equally easy to get into the house. The guy who answered the door was stumbling drunk and invited me in to smoke a bowl before I could even ask. Obviously, I stole the bowl. I plugged my phone into charge on my way to drop off order number three. Subway again. Christ. I was recording everything by placing the phone in my front shirt pocket with the camera just peeking over the edge of the fabric. It was cheaper than a GoPro, and I felt like James fucking Bond the whole time. My next delivery lived a bit out in the sticks. I pulled up in front of a large, aging house that sat alone without a neighbor in sight. There was an old Chevy up on blocks in the front yard, and a ton of trash. Classy. I knocked on the door and waited, trying to think up an excuse to pop inside. The largest man I'd ever seen in my life opened the door. I'm about 6 foot even, maybe 6'1 if I'm on Tinder. This dude towered over me, maybe 7 feet or even a smidge above that. He was also nearly as wide as he was tall. I didn't know how the fat fuck didn't fall through the old wooden floor when he walked. The man never said a word, only held out a hand for the food. I handed over the subs, brain still trying to process this absolute unit of a human. I almost turned around and left before I remembered the challenge. Content is king. Hey, I'm about to... The giant shut the door in my face before I could finish my sentence. I got ready to knock again and then hesitated.
Nothing about the challenge said I had to get invited inside, only that I had to get into the house. Mr. Ogre didn't seem too hospitable. He'd glared down at me the whole time with squished flat eyes and his brick wall of a face. I pretended to walk back towards my car, then slipped around the side of the house once I was off the porch. It was absolutely dark once I was away from the single streetlight. I pulled my phone, still recording, from my pocket and hit the flashlight. The main windows were high and shuttered, not offering easy access. I pointed my phone towards the ground and was rewarded when I noticed a small but accessible window in the foundation. The house had a basement. My luck held out. The opening was unlocked and just large enough for me to wiggle through. Camera still rolling, I stood up and dusted myself off. The basement was somehow even darker than the outside. My flashlight failed to cut through more than a few feet in front of me. I realized two things at the same moment. I was surrounded by blackout curtains, and something down there smelled fucking vile. Jesus! I pulled my shirt up to try to cover my nose and mouth. The odor was like standing in the center of a dozen porta-potties all filled to the rim in the middle of fucking August. I considered turning around and scrambling back out the basement window, but I needed a souvenir. I was already inside the house, I just had to push through. Content is king. The blackout curtains were made out of a heavy fabric that ate up all of the light. They hung from the rafters in a cascade. I pressed my way through them, quickly losing all sense of direction. The opening came up suddenly, and the moment I moved the last curtain aside, the smell hit me like a police baton. But I barely noticed. I was too busy staring at the table in the middle of the basement, and the dead bodies arranged around it. There was no doubt that the four things in front of me were corpses. Each had rotted away to not much more than bones and rags and dry yellow patches of flesh. Two of the figures were larger adults, while the other two were much smaller. The bodies were seated at the table, chained to their chairs. A few lit candles put an orange glow over everything, flames causing shadows to flicker against the curtains. There was a massive pile of spoiled food in the center of the table. I needed to run, to call the police, to drive as far away as possible from this reeking nightmare. But the footage was so... I mean, when would I ever find content like this again? I kept the camera rolling, trying to get a few angles, a couple of close-ups. I never heard the basement door open, but I did notice the steps creaking under an incredible strain. My whole body went cold. The owner of the house was on his way. I had just enough time to stumble back into the ring of blackout curtains around the table before the giant stepped into the candlelight. Carefully, quietly, I dropped to the ground and peeked out from under the fabric. The man was stripped completely nude, his skin shining like he was covered in some kind of oil. He wore a mask too small for his face. The mask was smooth white, carved into a blank expression. Groaning, the freak took a seat at the table, adding the subs he'd just ordered to the pile of rotting food. I tried not to gag, angling my phone to get everything in frame.
"Hungry?"
the giant asked, reaching into the food slop and pushing a handful of it into the face of one of the corpses. He took the next handful for himself, lifting up the bottom of his mask enough to shovel the waste into his mouth. Something fell from his chin. The man reached down and picked up a squirming roach from the table, popping it between his teeth like a grape. I couldn't help it. I gagged. My eyes shot open, and I slapped a hand across my mouth. It was too late. The giant stood up.
"Hello?"
he called out.
"Hello?"
I scrambled to my feet, tripping more than once, hands about to break my fall. The curtains dragged against me as I ran through the dark. I heard the man following behind me, bare feet thumping, breath heavy. It was a miracle that I found the wall with the window. Faint starlight bled through the opening.
I jumped and squeezed myself through. There was a horrible moment when my waist got stuck. I kept imagining a big, hot hand wrapping around my ankle and yanking me back, but I managed to free myself, kicking and twisting until I was laying on the grass outside. "Shit, shit, shit, shit!" I yelled, standing and sprinting in one motion. I whipped my car out onto the road, tires leaving smoke and rubber behind. Every part of me was shaking, adrenaline flooded. I was almost halfway back to the city before I thought of 911. "No," I whispered, frantically checking all of my pockets. "No, no, no." My phone was missing. I must have dropped it when I was running through the basement. It took me another 20 minutes to drive home. I snatched my roommate Jake's phone from his hand the second I got through the door. The rest of what happened, I found out from the news. Apparently, by the time the police reached the address I gave them, the house was up in flames. The fire burned the rest of the night. It got some news coverage. No bodies were recovered from the ashes. There was nearly nothing left and no proof other than my word. Without my phone, I didn't have anything on film to confirm my story. So everybody shrugged and moved on, and, you know, I guess that's all I can do too. One thing keeps me up at night, though. What if the giant found my phone in the basement before he set the house on fire? If he was able to guess the pin, everything about my life is on that phone. My name, my pictures, my GPS, my home address.